listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And who can't love Arthur Blessed? He went around the world. Now, I will tell you this. You and I have this in common. After I became born again, I started singing in churches. Well, some people down in Florence, South Carolina, I had a big white van. Well, they paid for a beautiful mural on both sides of my van. And this is the title I came up with. It said, "Tell all the world about Jesus," with a beautiful globe of the earth and a golden cross in the center. It was not a good experience because people threw tomatoes at me. They threw coffee at me. They gave me their middle finger. Mm-hmm. They waved at me, and it wasn't a nice wave.
12-foot cross. You get stuff thrown at you and shot at.
Now, that's what Brother Joseph said yesterday. People throw things at him. Certainly give him the middle finger. Have you had the same?
Oh, yeah, same thing. Arrested in Egypt, shot at in Jerusalem.
Arrested? Hold on. Arrested in Egypt, shot at in Jerusalem.
Had a 30-caliber rifle stuck in my face in El Salvador. You know, you name it, through the years. But I've also been welcomed to Parliament. I've prayed with presidents and prostitutes on the side of the road. We were carrying a cross in Vanuatu, and the president pulled over, and we prayed for him and his country there on the side of the road.
In Russia. You were in Russia.
Yeah, I spent 3 years in the Soviet Union, bought and gave away 75,000 Bibles over there.
Next week, you need to make sure my engineer sends you an audio copy of this, because some of the things you're saying, you just mentioned three chapter names of your future book just now, Presidents and Prostitutes. And so, you know, you had a gun in your face.
In El Salvador.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got to go into each story. What happened? Why did they not shoot you? Why did they put a gun in your face?
Well, we...
Hey,
it's
amigo.
Too long of a story this time.
You get the
no Gloria, Señor Jesús, amigo.
Yes, you get the Reader's Digest version. We flew in unannounced. I'd gone down with a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants bush pilot down carrying the cross and ministering down in Central America. Anyway, we got lost up there flying around, and the pilot didn't know where we were. We were in a little private plane, and he says, "I can't find him on the radio, so let's just fly in behind that plane in front of us." And so we flew in and taxied up. And I mean, as we taxied up, you know, here they come running.
They're thinking you're a drug cartel.
They had no idea. Well, and then also at that same time, they were at war with Honduras. And I was on my way to Honduras. I even had a letter from the consulate general to Honduras in my pocket with the raised seal and everything, because I had led her daughter to the Lord. Anyway, so that's a different story altogether, but it's part of it. Anyway, so they come running up, and I mean, they had the guns, and so I didn't speak Spanish, you know, I don't parlez-vous the stuff too good. Mm. And so anyway.
That's French.
Yeah.
Parlez-vous.
That's why he knows it.
I don't obla the stuff either too
good. Hey, gringo.
That's okay. It. And so anyway, you know, they're standing there guarding us and stuff. With the thing, and we finally got all the everything straightened out and stuff. We were lost up there flying around, and a bush pilot, you know, so we just put it down the first runway we saw. And but anyway, that's the long and short of it.
And also, you said you had people aggressive against you. Where else?
Well, I was in Egypt.
What happened in Egypt?
There.
You were arrested.
I was arrested there for carrying the cross.
They find that offensive?
They did. They came actually to the hotel room where I was staying and arrested me, got my stuff. And anyway, they locked me up bottom line in compound right at the border crossing of Israel there.
Yeah.
And after 30 hours, they hadn't given me any food or water. I could literally pinch my arm and it would stand. I was dying of thirst, 116 degrees out there. And I finally decided I'd rather go out with a bullet than to die of thirst. They'll just bury me in the sand.
You were in what, a cell? What were you in?
No, they were in. It was in an open, fenced-in compound, and so I was under this tin shed, 160.
Why would they not give you water?
They just had me.
Couldn't you yell out, "Help, water"?
They weren't paying any. They didn't care. You know, I mean, that's bottom line. They didn't care, and so. A guy that there's a string of shops that was right there, and a guy was watching this all day, and it was in there, and he knew what was happening. And the second day, he could see the condition I was, and he snuck me one of the bottles just about that size right there.
A little teeny tiny
Tiny thing. And it was at that time I was praying about the escape, how to get out of there. I'd rather die with a bullet than go out and die of thirst. And so anyway, God gave me an escape plan. But I drank half of the bottle and saved some because I was blonde at that time. I'm white-haired now. But I was blonde, and you get blonde hair wet, and it turns dark. So my whole idea was to get up and walk away from this area where they had me hemmed up, and I needed to change my appearance. I was in shorts, and I had those kind that would zip on to long pants, and I had the legs rolled up and stuck in my pocket. So I just, when the guards that were watching me got busy, a car came in and parked, and part of their job was to inspect cars and make sure bombs aren't underneath them, and they walk around with the mm-hmm. mirrors and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, they got busy, so I zipped my pant legs on and just got up and walked away and got over to the back of the compound, which was connected to Israel. And I walked up. There was two tripod machine gun nests on each side of the gate. Then there was three guards on the gate that goes into Israel.
Now, these are Israeli guards?
No, these are Egyptian guards.
Okay, and go on.
And one with a sidearm, two with, they just had their machine guns over their shoulder. And so I had my pocket Bible. They'd taken my passport and everything. They didn't take my pocket Bible away from me. And so I walked up there with my pocket Bible in hand like I was going to hand them my passport. And it was a fenced-in tunnel, best way to put it, that goes into Israel. And so I walked up just nonchalantly and started to hand the guy my pocket Bible like it was a passport. And then I bolted and ran through and thought, you know, and I hollered to the guard in Israel, I'm an American citizen. I need asylum in you know, Israel.
And you were in the paper.
Yeah, I had been in the paper, front page of the paper the week before when I was in Israel. Anyway, you know, he triggered the bells. The Egyptians, to my surprise, and I don't know why, because they followed the children of Israel into the Red Sea.
Yeah, what happened?
And stuff. They came running in behind me, and the guy with the sidearm jumps on my back. They're small people. And jumps on my back, and I flew him off, and what I did, threw him into one of the other guys with the machine guns on his shoulder. They both went to the ground, turned and ran into the other guy, because I didn't see him come up on my blind side, ran into him, and then I ran into the courtyard. By then, the Israeli guards were running to me, so I ran to them, told them who I was, and they said, well, you're in Israel now. Welcome to Israel, and stuff.
Jeez.
And you're getting the Reader's Digest version of it. They took me into the compound. There was a, just so happened, if you believe in coincidence, the two-star general that was head of security for all of southern Israel was at that border crossing at that moment. Mm. And so he found out what was going on. I said, he said, I got to take you back over there. We just have an agreement with them. I said, that's fine, but I'm going to talk to the American embassy first. I'd rather you shoot me here. I'd rather die in Israel than in Egypt. And so I said, I want to talk to the American embassy where they know I'm there. So he gave the order to get the American embassy on the phone, talk with them, told them what's happened.
What'd
by
they
this
say?
Point, and they said, you know, we understand and all that. And they said, let me do some checking and I'll call you back. While that happened, the Egyptian embassy called, and so I said, well, let me put you on hold. And then they said, so I talked to the Egyptian ambassador from Eilat. And so
Eilat, I was in Eilat.
Were you? Okay. Well, there's.
I got a very bad burn that day in the Red Sea, right?
I bet you did. It was hot down there. And so, anyway, the Egyptian ambassador calls, and he's trying to be hardcore. And I said, "Hey, man, you listen good. I have walked around the world and been welcomed to countries all over the world as a pilgrim of peace. And I came to Egypt, and you treated me worse than a POW over there." And he says, well, let me find out what's going on. I said, good, because I got the American embassy on hold. So he said, I'll call you back. So I switched back over to the American embassy, talking to the vice ambassador. And the general is sitting on the desk, just sitting up there. And he says, who are you talking to? And I said, I told him. He said, oh, let me have the phone. And so I gave him the phone. Turned out the general and the vice ambassador just played tennis the week before. And so anyway, the general tells him, says, look, I'm personally going to take him back over there, get all of his stuff. And he says, I give you my word, I will not leave Egypt without him. And so the general took me back over there. We got all of my stuff. The major that had arrested me apologized. And bottom line was, and the went out with the general, and they escorted me back to.
He apologized. Why did he give an excuse on why he did
this? It just Christians evangelize him. It's supposedly illegal to evangelize.
Did they keep your cross?
No.
You got your cross.
I got my cross back. I got my backpack.
Listen to me. Why have you not been to some Christian filmmakers? We got to get. Have you seen the new one? I know this is Jesus Revolution. I sure hope you saw it.
I have, and we love it.
Oh, me too. I saw it twice, and then I bought it.
We saw it twice.
I knew Chuck Smith. Well, I mean, not super well. We had breakfast twice together, but I used to listen to him on the radio when I was a new Christian. But the other movie is My Only Son. Have you seen it?
No, I have not seen that one. I just got aware of it.
Please. I've been in contact with the director. I hope to get an interview with him. They said they were going to give me one. But anyway,
what's this guy putting up there?
Just want to make sure he's not taking my car or something. What do you call it? Anyway, tow truck. So what were you saying?
Getting arrested in Egypt.
And stuff. That's just, Egypt is usually pretty friendly.
And the people were.
Did you ever go back?
No, I've not been back.
I wouldn't go back.
I would go back if God led me to.
This stuff would make a great motion picture.
Well, there's stories to be told.
Come on, stories. You know, this is great stuff.
They've done, Arthur's life, and shared his story of carrying the cross and,
Now, don't you leave here today without praying for me because I want you to bless me. Because, listen, you got to be a blessed guy. You and I are brothers in the same age, but for you to do this, I'm sure God's been watching you.
Well, I'm under the spout where the blessings are coming out.
So. I'm on the spout where the blessings are coming out. So you're amazing with your words. You're great. Prostitutes Jesus. And presidents and all these things. Race, what you say over here? He had scars from razor fights and bars.
Yeah. And you did.
You have a natural ability to rhyme.
He does.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the guy had scars down his arms.
I want to go back to when you were 21 or 22 when you started this thing, right?
I started with the cross when I was 22.
22. You got saved at 20.
20. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prior to that, you had alcoholic parents who died.
Right.
So you were orphaned young. Yes. By the way, do you know that he's the father to the orphan?
Yes.
Okay, because you and I, and he said, bring me to remembrance of my promises. Yeah. So I've always said, poor God, I go, you promise you're the father to the orphan.
That's right.
And so I've had undeserved favor, as you have.
Yeah.
I mean, he spared your life that day. You could have been shot by those guys with the machine guns.
Yeah, could have been.
This is crazy.
I've had bottles fly by my head that people threw out of cars as they drove past,
Why would they do that?
Now,
we talked about Egypt. We also talked about we had to give a gun out to your head
El Salvador.
Salvador. You mentioned something else at the very beginning when we met today. Some other thing like that. A situation where.
I don't know. I was shot at Jerusalem, arrested.
Arrested?
In Egypt, I was shot at. Yeah, I had 30 caliber rifle stuck in my... I was shot at in Israel.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.